was sitting there and I had a big smile on my face because, you know, it doesn't matter the numbers. I mean, I would love to see this house filled one day. But what excites me is if two or three are gathered in my name, I am amongst you. And that's what I was so excited that God is so faithful and he is here. Isn't that so beautiful? Amen. We're going to take an offering. Paul, would you go and get two baskets? And Jeff, if you would come up and you could do one side and Paul would do the other. And I believe that it's also Mission Sunday. So if you are ready for it, you can just mark. We're going to take only one offering. But if you can mark the envelope missions or put on what you are giving your tithe and also for missions. Glory to the living God. Father, thank you for the opportunity, O God, to give. You supply our every need, O God. And we want to thank you for that, Lord. We even thank you so much, Lord God, that we have cars, that we have gas in our cars, that we have homes. Our homes are warm. Our ovens work. All of it, oh God, everything. We have clothes on our backs, oh God. But more than anything, more than everything, we have you. And we want to thank you. We ask you, God, to just bless those that give this morning. And also, Father, that you would just bless the amount and you would multiply it as we give to missions and meet the needs of the church. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Thank you. Glory to God. Okay, let me get my Bible. I am so excited about this word today. I'm so excited because it's so alive in me, and it's about Peter. But before we do that, this is also the National Day for the Peace, National Prayer for the Peace of Jerusalem. So I want to pray and I want us to pray. It's the Day of Prayer for the Peace of Jerusalem. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this chapter, Isaiah 62. And if you could just make little groups of maybe four people and just have your own time of prayer after I finish reading this chapter. Okay, so this is Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You should also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married, for as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I have set a watchman on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give your grain as for your enemies, and the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored, but those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it shall drink it in my holy courts. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highways. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner for the peoples. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world. Say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Would you just group 3, 4 people, 5 people, whatever it is, and let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's pray for an awakening in the land to come to know the Messiah, their Savior. Let us do that. That's it. Come on. Father, we pray for your supernatural safety, peace, and protection to guard the land and all its people from terrorism and the forces of evil. Father, we pray for the Arabs, O God, in the land. Father, those Christian Arab, we pray for that population to grow, to be a powerful witness for the Lord in their communities, and that God, you will reveal yourself to Muslim families through the redemption of Jesus Christ, O God. We pray for reconciliation between Christians and Jewish people, as well as between the offspring of Ishmael and Isaac, and that Christ's love will shine throughout the Middle East. In Jesus' wonderful name, O God, salvation break forth. Salvation break out in the land. Let there be a stirring, O God. Increase in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So be it, O God. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord. Thank you. So, you know, I've been studying Peter in the Gospel, and I want you to think about Peter and what do you have in common with him? What do you have in common with Peter? He was quite a character, actually. So if you would open up to Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. I love this. I just think it's so powerful. This portion of scripture especially. When Jesus came, it's a 16:13, chapter 16:13 in Matthew. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And what did he call himself? "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Jesus called himself the Son of Man. But Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Whoa. What revelation Peter got. The Christ, the anointed one, meaning the Messiah, meaning the appointed one, meaning the deliverer. So in one sentence, Peter was in the spirit saying, "You are the Christ, the anointed one. You are the Messiah. You are the appointed. You are the deliverer, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And Jesus must have wanted to celebrate, because Jesus heard the voice of the Father, and now there was another man on the face of the earth that heard the voice of the Father. Besides Jesus and Peter, when Spirit came upon Peter, and Peter was able to say, "You are the Son of the living God." Is that exciting? It's so exciting to me. And since then, the voice of the Lord, or the ability to hear the voice of the Lord, has been growing. And I believe it will continue to grow until the Lord comes back. The voice of the Lord for those that are in the secret place. Ruth Heflin carried the presence. Where did she get the presence from? The presence of the living God. There's only one place, the secret place. Amen. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth would be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ, the appointed one, the deliverer, because he wanted to keep it low. He didn't want people to know yet, because he had a season of time to be on this earth to accomplish what the Father set him out to do, and he didn't want that shortened by man in any way. So let's keep it a secret. Let's keep this between us, okay? And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And I believe that the rock, I'm sure that other people may have different outlook or understanding, but I believe that Jesus was saying, I'm going to build my church. On the fact that people will be hearing from my Father. The ability to hear my Father is what I'm going to build my church upon. Do you get it? You understand what I'm saying? Because if we're hearing from the Father, we will have the keys of the kingdom. And we can bind, we can hear. It's the Spirit of God that carries the voice of the Father. And we could bind or we could release. We could move in the supernatural if we're hearing the voice, not our own voice, not our own temptations or eager desires, but hearing the voice of God. That's the solid rock church. Then he commanded his disciples, this is verse 20, that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples, from that time now, his disciples, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, rebuking Jesus. Far be it from you, Lord, that this shall not happen to you. But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And so, we can hear the voice of God and yet move with our own thinking and our minds instead of the Spirit. So Peter was developing a wonderful gift, and at the same time Peter had so much flesh, so much self desire inside of him. So there's this war going on within Peter, and it's just, you know, what do we have in common with Peter? Yes, two natures? Yes. Excuse me? I didn't hear you. Okay. Okay. Well, I want to turn for a moment and go to Luke chapter 22. Let's see if we have this in common with Peter too, also. So this is 22. Okay. Let's think about this for a minute. This is the Lord's Supper. And Jesus has much to say to his group that's so close to him and his family on the earth. And so Jesus is, they had the Lord's Supper, and then Jesus spoke about someone would betray him, and he went on and was talking to them, and then all of a sudden, in verse 31, the Lord said, he turned to Peter, Simon, Simon, like, listen to this. Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So he's not saying this isn't going to happen. See, Father God okayed it. But he said, but I have prayed for you that you will not lose your faith. And when you are strengthened. So Peter, you're going to go through a very hard time. Now there's a sifting like wheat that is taking place within Peter. And it says that he doesn't say, but I have prayed for you so this won't happen. He doesn't say that. Jesus said, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, not that it's not going to happen, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So there's going to be a time of separation. And when you have returned to me, and I pray that your faith will not fail you. Wow. That's deep. And when you come back to me, then you know what I'm going to ask you to do? I'm going to ask you to feed my sheep. I'm going to ask you to feed my lambs. I'm going to ask you to strengthen your brethren. Because I'm going to make you strong. But you will be sifted as wheat. Let's just think about Peter's character. Peter had fear. Now I'm going to read some scriptures. He loved Jesus and he was a believer and a follower of the Lord. But inside of him, there was some fear going on. And I know that God wanted to get to that place and increase his faith instead of fear. And then we see after he goes through a horrible time, Peter is meek and humble and wrote the two epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter, and they are beautiful. They are beautiful. So Peter was not raised with a father. I looked it up, and it seems like his father maybe died when he was very young. And Zebedee and Salome raised him and his younger brother, Andrew. Now, I have counseled men that did not have a true father figure in their life. And these guys are a mess. I really mean it. And when we get in there, they cry and cry and cry. And I believe that Peter did not have his natural father in his life. So maybe he was a little messed up. He had no education. He lived by the shores of Galilee, and he became a fisherman, but no education. In fact, the Sanhedrin, when Peter was before him, he said in the word, he is an unlearned man. Peter means rock. We know that. That's the first meaning of his name. But Jesus didn't call him Peter. Jesus called him Simon, or Simon bar Jonah. Simon. Now, Simon means listen. So when he would say Simon, the Hebrew root is listen. Simon bar Jonah, also, like I said, was another name or title that Jesus gave to him, and that means wavering and unstable. Wavering and unstable. Do you think that God was going to allow Satan to sift him as wheat so he could take care of these things and make him stable, sure, and strong? What do you think? You think so? Are you sleeping with your eyes open? You following me? All right then. So, the gospel, when you read the gospels, it's portrays Peter as the prominent disciple. And I was reading, you know, in Matthew and all, and it's always, and then Peter said, And then Peter had them come here. And then Peter, it was like he was the leader. It was like he was the star of the show. But he was like a prominent apostle. I want to turn to, let's look at some of Peter's fears in Matthew chapter 14. You're all thinking, right? That's what it is. So we're in Matthew chapter 14 and 29, I think. Yes. So you know this story very well. How we'll read verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, and while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. So they see, they're looking at this figure of a man walking on top of the water, coming like to the boat. And they're crying out. They're actually crying out, oh my God, yum, right? But Jesus immediately spoke, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Here he is, tenacious, and here is our Peter, hot-headed, I guess, and forceful, and outspoken, and but you had to love him. You had to just love his heart. Hey, listen. You know, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. See, and God wanted to get to that fear inside of Peter. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And then Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? But don't you think, like, good for Peter, though. He was the one that said, Lord, if it is you, call me to come. Beckon me to come to you and walk on that water. And there he was, walking on the water. But the waves, and he looked around, and all of a sudden he started to sink, and he had fear. That's okay, wouldn't you? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 22. And verse 31 to 34. Here it is. Jesus is speaking and talking to them, and all of a sudden he turns to Simon. Simon, Simon, indeed. Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now, we said that before. He's going to be sifted like wheat. So there's a warning here. Now let's go back to John chapter 18. This is when Jesus was arrested. Well, this is when I'm going a little ahead of myself here. This is when, yes, they arrest Jesus and they take him away. And it says that in verse 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Not that disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest. He had an in, that disciple, and they knew each other. And went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, You are not also one of the man's disciples, are you? Are you one of Jesus' disciples? And he said, I am not. And Peter stood by the fire, warming himself. And he had fear. It was a fearful night. And Jesus was saying, what have I done wrong? You know everything that I said. What have I done wrong? Jesus said in verse 23, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why are you striking me? Now, if you look at verse 25, now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself by that fire, right? Therefore, they said to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Now, Peter goes into such depression over what he did. Goes into such a place of brokenness. You know, sometimes the best teacher is a broken heart. Sometimes the best teacher is a hurting conscience. Sometimes the best teacher is a bruised ego. He had to live with himself. After being with Jesus, after loving Jesus so much, after seeing all that Jesus was doing, he turned on him. And Jesus said, you know, when you get your faith back, you will return to me. Remember? I'm just looking at my notes here for a second. You know, at one point in John 13:37, Peter asked the Lord, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Imagine, and here with just a little bit after that, he's saying, I don't know the man. I was not with him. That wasn't me. So now Peter begins to be sifted by the enemy. And the Father is allowing it. You know, Satan doesn't do anything without the Father's permission. But the Father, in his supreme knowledge and wisdom, knows. He knows when Peter is refined, when he has to go through this terrible time, he will come out and he will be the disciple that will make a difference in the world. And it will be written in the book all about him. And all of my son's followers will be reading this about him so that they can gain knowledge, so that they can gain awareness, so that they can gain strength, so that they can have increased faith. And if we think about Peter, you know, his shortcomings, his weaknesses, we all have them. Amen? And when we go through trials, how do we come out of our trials? If we don't come out of them changed, then we have to go through another trial and another trial and another trial, and maybe even sifted like wheat. But the God keeps his eyes on us. He never leaves us. He never, ever, ever forsakes us. But three times that man said, I don't know him, I wasn't with him, because of their fear. And God wanted to make him as fearless as he could be, so that he would go out there in the world. Sifted like wheat. It represents, the wheat represents a truly repentant heart. Chaff that comes from the sifting, which is thrown in the fire. It's like the Pharisees, the chaff. The Messiah will sift the world, and the people who are worthy will be brought into his barn, while those unworthy will burn in unquenchable fire. Now let's turn to the Gospel of John, the very end, and I'm sure you're all familiar with it, chapter 24, 21, 21. Let's read this wonderful chapter. We'll start with verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again and again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out immediately and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land. Now here he is, tenacious, and you know, here is Peter just threw himself in the water, and he wasn't going to wait for the boat to drift, you know, to the shore. He just had to get to Jesus. But about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. He must have looked different after his resurrection. Amen. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, wavering, unstable, listen. Do you love me more than these? More than these men here? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because Jesus, he had said to him the third time, do you love me? Listen, Peter, wavering Peter, unstable one, I'm asking you, do you love me? Peter said, you know all things. You know that I love you. And the third time, Jesus said, feed my sheep. And then he said to Peter, he was bracing Peter and telling him ahead of time, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself, you got dressed, and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Said Peter, I'm letting you know. Your days are numbered. It's not going to be pretty. Do you still love me? Jesus, you know that I love you. Then you tend to my sheep, my little lambs. This he spoke, signifying but what death he would glorify God. He said to him, follow me. Now, when I looked this up, and I looked up some of the Hebrew meanings here, Jesus was actually asking Peter to be his friend. Would you be my friend? It's interesting. You love me? Are you my friend? Because greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. He told Peter what's going to happen to him, how he would be taken. He was going to die, suffer. But I remembered that scripture, greater love. You love me? Do you love me, Peter? How much do you love me? Greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And we know that Jesus laid down his life for his friends, for his family. And what Jesus was saying here was, serve me. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Keep your eyes on me. Do you love me? Peter, no matter what, You love me? Follow me. I'm going to be crucified. You will be taken. But do you love me? Would you be my friend? Are you a true friend? Would you lay down your life as I did for my friends? Would you do the same? Follow me. Serve me. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Now, we all know that Peter was, he was a star, you know. He grew in every way. Maturity. He grew in love, you know, in the depth of love, understanding. And he became a master. He became a soft, loving, meek, humble person. But he was still the rock. He was still God's rock here on the earth, who could hear the voice of the Father. In his two epistles, and read them today if you can, this week if you can. He was sifted, he suffered. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, Peter wrote, "But even if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid." He got to the fear inside of Satan, I mean inside of Peter. He delivered Peter out of the fear. Wow. Peter wrote that. Our impetuous man turned into that solid rock, Peter. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, "And the grace of God, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." That solid rock. He also said, and I just love this little thing that Peter said in the apostle, in the epistle. He said, "Grow in goodness." Would you stand with me? Wow. Wow. Father, thank you for the example, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that we have the ability to hear your voice. Thank you, Father, that we have the ability to look into the Word and the depth of the Word, that we can recognize, Lord God, your heart, that we can recognize how good you are, oh God. That, Father, even though you may allow us to be sifted, my God, you will strengthen us, not leave us, and beckon us to come closer and closer to you. And that's what we want, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that Peter broke forth and said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And Father, he heard that from you, from your Spirit. And we have the ability and the precious gift of hearing your voice through the Spirit of the living God. Father, I pray that you increase that you fine-tune our spiritual ears, that we would know, oh God, the expectations you have for us, Lord, in these days and in the days to come. We pray, Father, we ask for faith. We ask for faith, Lord God, that we will not walk in fear as we see the days, the darkness approaching, Lord God. We know it will get difficult, but Father, that we will be faith-filled. Our faith in you and casting our cares upon you, Lord God. And Father, that we would do the mightiest things that we will ever do in the last days, Father, that we will raise the dead, that we will lay hands on the sick and we will see them healed, the blind eyes opened. Oh God, get us ready. Get us ready. Grow us up and help us to leave behind all the immaturity, Lord God. And that Peter, at one point, he heard you by the power of the Spirit, and another point, he was saying to Jesus something that was coming out of his mind, coming out of his flesh, coming from his soul. We don't want that. We want, oh God, to move with the Spirit, to have the understanding of the Spirit, to be in agreement with Holy Spirit, and to be empowered by him. One day, Lord God, when we see Jesus, we will see Peter. Jesus will be looking at us. We'll be looking at him. Peter will be looking at us. We'll be looking at him. And Father, to know the great rewards, I believe one of our rewards is here on earth, where Jesus said to Peter, you're going to be sifted, but I have prayed for you. And when you come back to your faith, return to me. I am so delighted, Lord God, and excited to know that Jesus is praying for us. And when we're going through a trial, when we're going through hard times, dark days, to know that Jesus is praying for us. And that all that we do, all that we accomplish will be because Jesus has prayed for us. He would never leave us, never forsake us, never forget about us. Always sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. That is so awesome, God. Thank you so much, Lord God, for you have a plan laid out, and everything needed is set in place. All we have to do is walk in your Son. Help us to do that, Lord God. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, sweet, precious Holy Spirit. We thank you. We thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you. It is our food, our nourishment, our strength, our life. Thank you. Thank you. Father, give us an unsatisfied desire and hunger to be in that Word. To find the secrets ourselves. Not that someone has to teach us or preach, but that we would find the secrets in the Bible ourselves, which we can hold in our hearts as richness, Lord God, and that the power, oh God, that comes along with it, Lord. Father, we want to lay aside all childish things, and we want to come to maturity and be able to fulfill what you call us to do, that plan for our lives in such a time as this and in the days to come. We love you, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you just take out the fear. We all acknowledge that we have fear. We all do. We all have a measure of fear. We all do. We all do. But, oh God, forgive us. And, Father, the faith comes by hearing the Word and hearing the Word of God. These powerful scriptures, powerful stories, oh God, that are true, can build up the faith within us, oh God. We want to be like a solid rock. A solid rock. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Well, we got a cake. We're not going to serve it today. We'll have other things in the cafe, but I wanted to say that we were going to celebrate our beautiful Doreen, because she just had a birthday, and the other birthdays of the month. But Doreen needed to listen to the Lord and stay home and get some rest today. So we will have that cake next week. But what I want to say is, we have her name on that cake for a special reason. And that reason is that Doreen has done so much for the church and has so many plans along with our brother Rich. And she has also done so much for the school. She has really, really, really worked so hard. And I invite you to go downstairs and just take a look at the fellowship hall. Just that alone is one of the things that she has done. She painted. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. So she's just doing so much. We wanted to reward her, but we'll do that next week, okay? And I'll meet you in the cafe. God bless you.
Your love.